30. World's End.
It's time. As we wait for his champions to arrive, he shows me his plan. Effortlessly, he takes my mind sight into his, and melds them together so I see things as he sees them. I tremble. I am old. I am tired. My frail bones shake, and I cling to my staff to stay standing. Such power. My mind feels as though it is about to burst. I gaze, sharing his will and view, out to the limit of his mind sight. I see what is revealed. The Imperial Palace, all of its dominions maimed and disfigured, its towers lightning-clapped and tumbled down, its golden avenues scorched to molten streams of clotted alloy, its polished walls baked in soot and befouled. It is numb with terror, rendered vacant by shock. It clings to its last shreds of life. It is as close to death as Jagatai was, gone past the fatal brink and owning only a fragment of its vitality. Firestorms seethe, collisionous hosts of plated men and towering war machines, like swarms of gleaming insects, pour in through sundered walls. Energy beams sear, noctilucent, through the choking swathes of smoke. Pestilential rains of blood and toxins and biomatter hammer the broken bastions and churn the dystrophied plains to mire. Cataracts of blood splash from fractured ramparts and splintered battlements. Wider still, spears of light flash from our last defensive battery, the ransacked port of Lion's Gate, which the White Scars have retaken and somehow cling on to. The orbital lasers stab at the obscured heavens and are answered a hundredfold by the traitor fleet above. I see a giant void ship, shearing and burning as it falls through the clouds. I see the vast impacts of orbital bombardment, porcupining slow explosions around the collapsing skirts of Lion's Gate. Its defiance is humbling. Its end is near. Wider still, the outstretched surface of the world, mottled and bruised, shuddering in tectonic agony and seismic convulsion, gashed and lacerated, fallout plumes rising from the shiver flash of glowing, irradiated lesions the size of nations. The world is wreathed in smoke and flame, the atmosphere peeling away like flayed skin, and nothing is whole anymore. The warp is spilling loose, coruscating into real space, suppurating the flesh of the planet, corrupting and transmuting all matter it touches. This is end-stage war. The pyrophoric caress of chaos, metastasizing the human homeworld, eating it away, making its own realm where once we ruled. Wider still, the buckled sphere of terror, rotting in its own skin, bathed in unlight, the black specks of the numberless traitor fleet settling like blowflies on its polluted rind. The orb of once proud terror is encircled by a noxious nephelospheric halo, a livid puncture in reality, a raw corona, as my master's son, his beautiful, first-found son, our enemy, immanentizes his insane transaction with the four false gods of annihilation and consigns the world into the distended maw of the warp. The natural laws of the world are undone. This is his configuration of tomorrow, sanctified by the bloody print of his hand. What is my lord trying to show me? I see nothing that I don't already know or can't imagine. His first found's domination is utter and absolute. I expect to discover some tiny flaw, some chink or fissure in his attack, something or anything we can use to leverage a counterstrike. But there is none. And I knew before my lord showed me this that none would exist. For Horus Lupercal has proven that while Rogel and Perturabo might be proclaimed the greatest strategists of the age, none can compare to the War Master. There is nothing. My lord, my master, my king of ages, my friend, you must accept this. There is nothing. You must accept that our fight back, which we perhaps have left too late, must be done the hardest way. One blow, one step, 1 meter, one strike at a time. A grueling uphill struggle against a far superior...
Wait.